Okay, tonight is Monday, June 11th. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Maseches Moed Katan, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. So, I was looking upstairs for the regular Gemara that I use, and I have all the old source sheets in it. Not there, somebody took it. Reminds me of one time when I used to go to Beth El every Shabbos Mevarchin to hear Moshe Kozhevitzky, the Chazanim. And Kozhevitzky always wore, like most of the Chazanim did at that time, the big black hat, the long black coat. One time he comes in and he's wearing a regular yarmulke and a suit and a regular talus. And he gets up to the bima, and before he starts Shoychenad, he turns around and he says, "Der vasat gigandit mein zachen, bet nishnayn kim besser chazan." The person who stole my stuff is not going to become a better chazan. So I'll say the same thing about this. Okay, we are in the midst of the sugya as it continues to spell out all of the ramifications of somebody becoming in nidui, in some form of excommunication. And the last thing that we learned was, about a third of the way down, that the Gemara had said that someone in nidui, mafkirinon linichsei, that Beis Din has a right to declare as hefker all of your possessions. And we spent quite a bit of time on the halacha of hefker, Beis Din, hefker, and I gave you 8 or 9 examples where this particular halacha was applied. I just want to do one more tonight because this is the most startling application. It literally eradicates a din d'oraisa that has enormous effect. So if you take the top sheet first, I added this on, that's why it's not even numbered. This is the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Gittin. And the Mishnah says, it's the where it says Masnitin, Hasholeach get le'ishto. If somebody sends a get al yidei shliach to his wife, you're allowed to send a shliach lahalacha. Vehigia b'shliach, and the husband ran after the shliach because he decided that because she simply burnt the cholent this past Shabbos is not a good enough reason to divorce her. So he runs after the shliach in order to be mivatel the get. O shesholach acharav shliach. Or if he can't run after the shliach himself, he sends a second shliach to reach the first shliach and be mevatel the get. V'omar lo, and he said, get shenosati loch batelu hareze batel. Once the shliach or the husband is mevatel the get, it is indeed annulled. And she can never use that get again. He can never use that get again. Kidem etzel ishto, if the shliach doesn't know where the first shliach is, or the husband can't trace the route of the shliach. So what he did was he ran to his wife's house, or shesholach etzlo shliach, or he sent an agent to his wife's house. V'omar lo, and he said to her, get shesholachti loch batelu, the get that will arrive with my appointed initial shliach is indeed batel, hareze batel. A husband enjoys the right to be mevatel the get as long as she has not yet received it.
So he has to reach, the get first.
He has to beat the get.
Right, he can't just do it remotely. He can't be mevatel the get remotely.
We'll see if he can or not. That's going to be the next case. Im mishihigia get liyada, shuv eino yochol levatla. Once the get has been delivered, either personally to her or via his agent, under those circumstances, he no longer enjoys the right to be mevatel the get. Now says the Mishnah, Barishona haya ose bezdin mimakom acher umivatlo. Let's assume he has no clue where the shliach is. Nor he has no clue where the wife is. But he wants to be mevatel the get. So the halacha is, the original halacha is, he is permitted to go to any local bezdin and be mevatel the get. Mevatel the get. And that's it. Hiskin Rab Gamliel Hazakein. However, the fourth perek of Gittin has many, many takanot of either Rabbi Gamliel or others who made a takana in order to eliminate potential problems. So Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein Shilo Yehu Osin Kain Mipnei Tikun HaOlam. That you should not have the right to be mevatel the get in another bezdin, because what's going to happen is the shliach is going to deliver the get. She will think that she has been legally divorced. She'll go ahead and get married to someone else, have a child, and that child will be a mamzer. The reason why the child will be a mamzer, because even though she thought she was divorced, she was not divorced. So Rav Gamliel said, I am not going to recognize a bitul haget shelo bifnei ha'isha. Even though al pidin, you are allowed to be mevatel the get shelo bifnei ha'isha in a bezdin, I, Rav Gamliel, are going to go ahead and override it and say, there is no bitul haget, and as a result, what happens when the get reaches the wife's hand? What happens?
She's divorced.
She's divorced. She's divorced. That's what the Mishnah says. Yes.
Does the bittul have to be in writing the same as the get?
No, does not have to be. It can be just presented orally to the bezdin, orally to the shliach. That's all. You don't need it written at all. Yes?
Bezdin has a kol or not?
Okay, that's a good question. Does a Maisa Bezdin have a kol? Apparently, not enough of them. Sometimes the Gemara does say, Bezdin is Slekola. That is true. But apparently this is not enough to protect her against a potential disaster. So the question which all Rishonim ask is the follows. The Gemara, when it says Barishaina, it means that's the din Torah. Good. So a din Torah is that the get has been annulled and she is an Ashes Ish mid the Oraisa. How can Rabbi Gamliel come along and say, oh, you're not an Ashes Ish mid Oraisa? I'm going to say, a takana mid the Rabbanan, that you are going to be halachically considered divorced when the Torah considers you married and you're an Ashes Ish. How can Rabbanan, what power do Rabbanan have to undo a get, which is chal mid oraisa? By what virtue did Rabban Gamliel assume the authority to establish such a takana? It's not a takana like other takanot, which you do, okay, because there are needs for it. This is an isa d'oraisa. And the woman is going to go ahead and give birth to Mamzerim on a d'oraisa level. Yeah.
He didn't say that based in. He just says, Shalom, you're Osikin. He just based doesn't do it. Based doesn't do it.
If you read the Gemara later on, the Gemara says that if you did it, it's worthless. Because if you're going to. That Gemara entertains one possibility that you are right. Then the Gemara asks, Im Kain. Ma'ahani le bitakantan. If the get is going to be not chal, well, what did they accomplish with Rav Gamliel's takana? It must be that the get is chal. That's how the Gemara comes to the conclusion. So the Gemara answers hefker bezdin hefker. What does that mean? Bezdin says that the ring which the husband gave to the wife, the first, when he married her, didn't belong to him.
Limafreya.
That's how far. It's hefker limafreya. So if they were mafkir the ring limafreya, they were never married. If they were never married, then she doesn't even need a get. She can go marry anybody else anytime she pleases. So the Gemara is willing to rely on the power of Hefker, Besdin Hefker, even with Mafreya, even to uproot a Kedushin, in effect engage in annulment. That's what they do. They annul the marriage. How? By declaring the ring Hefker. And if you declare the ring Hefker, there was no way for the husband to be Mekadesh. So the Gemara asks the question, that's only good if what? If he was Mekadesh al Yidei Kedushin, al Yidei Kesef. What happens if he was Mekadesh al Yidei Bia? He had relations with her. And that was the act of Kedushin. So the Gemara answers, what did they do? They made her relationship with the husband Bias Nus. The Rabbanan said, this having relationship between husband and wife for the purpose of creating the bond of Kedushin was not true. Why did they go to bed with one another? Just to have a good time. Hanky-panky. Asu Rabbanan kibi'ilas znus. And it just shows the enormous enormity of the power. And anyhow, the Gemara then goes on to say you don't have to worry about anybody being Mekadesh Bebiya because Rav mangid amanda Kadesh Bebiya. Rav administered lashes to anybody who tried to be Mekadesh and Isha Yadei Bia. Kesef, and you look at the Rambam, Rambam also says Kesef was the mechanism of Kedushin for Dor Dorot. I never heard of anybody else who was Mekadesh other than Kesef. But Shtar, very little. And you can see evidence, this historians say, that the discussion in Maseches Kedushin of the first Perek about Kinyan Kesef is about 20 pages. Shtar, one amud. Bia, a half a page. And historians will say that if there's very little discussion in the Gemara about it, it means it wasn't a practical case. It wasn't a practical usage. Yeah.
So she can get married to a Kohen?
In theory, yes. The only reason why she cannot marry a Kohen is only a Durabbanan that it's Mechzeh that she's a Grusha. Because she has a get in her hands. You know, she's not going to know about this. You know, she never heard of Ram Gamliel said that. But, you know, Mido Oraisa, she's allowed to marry a Kayan. Yes, because she's not a Grusha any longer. Yeah.
There are no ramifications for the children?
None. If
Cohen,
children born from a relationship that is not out of, that is not a violation of an Isa Erva, are not mamzerim. They're perfectly kosher children. Children born out of wedlock are perfectly kosher children. Are allowed to marry a kohen.
If they're kohen, if the man is a kohen, the children are kohanim. They can eat truma.
100%. Yeah, because it's not even. Yeah, there's no reason not to, because the definition of a zona, which the Torah describes in Parshas Emor, means not a prostitute. It means a woman who he was not permitted to have relations with. Well, when he married her, she was the greatest girl in the world. And she had no yuchsin defects. So the children are not mamzerim, they're nothing, they're not kalolim. They're all perfect like mduchen next Shabbos. That's all. Yeah.
So wasn't there a rights of power that Beis Din has in the first place to be mevatel it? When it's a Barishona that it says that Beis Din has it, that someone could go to Beis Din and say, my get that's on its
right.
way.
Right, so that's what? The power. Beis Din has every kind of power they want.
And so the answer is they're giving them more power.
That's correct.
The answer is they have a superpower.
They have a superpower.
They have another superpower.
The Gemara initially says it's based on Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. That's how they did it.
But the initial one.
The original power is because you're allowed to be mevatel get ayudei shaloi b'faneha. The halacha is you're allowed to be mevatel get shaloi b'faneha.
It's not a Beis Din power.
No, that's the halacha.
It's halacha part.
That's the halacha. Black and white.
You don't have to go to Beis Din to do it. He could just say, I don't want this get to occur.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
What does tikkun v'olam mean?
The potential damages that will come to this world. That this woman will have thought that she's divorced, remarry, have 10 children, and they'll all be mamzerim. So tikkun olam, in our respect, does not mean to go about abroad like today, Tikkun Olam is bantered about. No, it means within, there are certain times in Tikkun Olam, that's very same Gemara in Gittin says, Mefarnesin Aniye Akum Im Aniye Yisrael B'nei Tikkun Olam. In order not to, that people should say that we're only interested in ourselves, that's not right. We should support the Gentile people of our cities as well. That's also B'nei Tikkun Olam. And it's the whole fourth parak deals with these types of issues where the halacha was A, the Rabbanan came along, made a takana, B'nei Tikkun Olam.
Why is Beis HaSori reluctant to use this nowadays, the Friya Gunu?
It's a very good question. And it happens to be, there is this one, Rabbi Krause's Beis Din is trying to use Hafkas Kiddushin. However, Chazal only used, it's only quoted in the Gemara four times, in four specific cases. This is number one. There are four specific, Rabbi Weider once gave a shir in Rinat as to why he thought that Rabbi Krause's Beis Din or tech approach is wrong. And it is such an easy way to remove the Aguna problem that the question is, what's the matter? The Vilna Gaon couldn't have thought of that? The Rambam couldn't have thought of that? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein couldn't have thought of that? Well, we matter all them by simply saying, Afkin or Rabbanu Kedushin yet. Apparently there's a reluctance for Chazal to use it, and they used it in the four cases where the Gemara, it says, Afkinon Rabbanu Kedushin Mine. It's only quoted four times. This is one of them.
Why are we so particularly concerned about this particular time where a din d'rabbanan overrides a din d'oraisa? I mean, we see this.
No, it's because here you're talking about an isur. A din d'rabbanan, think about the din d'rabbanan that we override in a d'oraisa. You don't do mitzvos. Usually it's b'sheva al tasa.
Is an isur
nisa? What? Nisa, it's an isur kares. Right? And the children of Amzerim. Right. Children of Amzerim. So it's a novel type of application. We don't always see it. Okay. I'm going to invite the Gemara. So we are on Daftes Zion Amud Aleph, and the Gemara asks, Uminolon dinatsinon velaitinon umichinon vitalshinon seyar umashbiinon. Does everybody have the place? Okay. It's about 10 lines after the lines started getting wide. Approximately 10 lines. 12 lines. Uminolon dinatsinon velaitinon. If you see on the side, right inside the right margin, it says Nechemya Yud Gimel, it's a line above that. So the Gemara asks the following question. How do I know, Uminolon Dinatsinon, you pick a fight with him, Vilaitinon, and you curse him, Umachinon, and there are various interpretations about that,
hit one.
You hit him, right? Moche, right? Vitalshinon seyar, you pull his hair out. Umashbeinon, you swear against him or curse him. Dichsiv, as the pasuk states, va'ariv imam, va'akalein, va'akem mehem anoshim, va'emratein, va'ashbein. So the pasuk in Yecheskel, in Nehemiah, uses these expressions. It says amratein means to pull your hair out. Va'arivimam means to start a fight with him, pick a fight with him. Va'akalaleim, you curse them. Va'akem mehem anoshim, people will strike him, and so on and so forth. Good. Uminolon de kaftinon. How do I know that? What I tie him up? Ve'asrinon, And that, according to many, means that you administer lashes, the avdinon hardafa, and that you also engage in hardafa. We'll see what that means in a minute. The Gemara is not quite sure. Dichsiv, hein lomus, hein lisharoshi, hein la'anesh nixin, ule esorin. So, some people are put to death, some people are lisharoshe, hein la'anesh nixin, some people are punished by having their property taken away from them, ula asurin, and some people are what? Tied up. Ask the Gemara, my lisharoshi, what does the word lisharoshi mean? Omar Ada Mari Omar Nechemia Bar Baruch Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Omar Rabbi Yehuda Hardafa. Nice. It's Hardafa. Now we ask the Gemara, my Hardafa, what exactly is Hardafa? So Omar Rabbi Yehuda Berei the Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei the Rav. It means Hardafa means you pursue him immediately. Lat lirdo. In other words, minadin la'alter. We'll stop right there for a second. It means don't allow this case to fester. As soon as the person deserves to be put into cherem, he or nidui, he is put into a nidui, and that's what hardafa means according to Rashi. Rashi interprets this hardafa. He says, look at Rashi Hardafa. Kamifaresh Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rab Shmuel. Lirodfo miyant. To pursue him immediately. Dekevan de lotzayiz dina. As soon as he fails to heed the decision of the court, minnadin oso, you put him into cherem. However, there are a couple of other interpretations of Hardafa, and there might be a question about the proper girsa. We'll see the Ga'inim as a different girsa. But Rabbeinu Yeshaya says that Hardafa means you run after him so that he doesn't make a living. Rotfin biparnasasa. How are you rotfin b'parnasoso? So if he is a baker, you have the community funds help relocate another baker right next to him. Like in Teaneck, three pizza shops within a block of each other. That's what you do to put him out of business. If he's a carpenter, you bring another carpenter to town. That's how the Rabbeinu Yeshaya interprets that Moshivin umna acherim samuch lechanuso. However, the Rush, and here you have on page number one, the Rush has a different interpretation. So I bracketed where our Gemara starts umenole tzin, and then you can go two lines beyond that, where it says, Amar Rav Yehuda Hardafa. Girsas HaGeonim. The Geonim had a different text in our Gemara as to what Hardafa meant. Not like Rashi, that you get somebody to establish a challenge to his Parnasa. Or that it means like, that was Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Or it does not mean that you start the case right away. What is Hardafa? Amar Rav Papa Nitzvi Dikani. It means groups of storks. Piresh Gaon, the Gaon explained. Shekoshrin Kanim Zulazu. You take these long stalks, like bamboo sticks or something like that. Vichovshin Oso Benehem. And you put him right up against these poles, these kinim, kanim, kidei shelo ya'amod bebeisho asurin berevach. So he shouldn't have a lot of place to walk around. Velo yelech lekanu lekan. So when it means, it says in the previous phrase, v'asrinon, asrinon is interpreted by most that you tie him up to one pole, and that, like Yashkin. And then what do? You instead of him, you give him lashes. That's what you do. That's what v'asrinon means. The Gaonim say, no, asrinon means to lock him up. You have all these kanim which you put around him, so to give him no, it's like in your solitary confinement, where you're left with literally 3 feet to walk around, so he shouldn't be very comfortable while he's in nidui. That's what the Ge'onim say it happens to. Right. Good. So those are three possible interpretations of what that means. Of what that means. Either it means to pursue his parnasa, or it means to start the case right away, or it means to cut down his latitude as to where he's allowed to walk. You're not making life for this guy very pleasant. That is for sure. That is for sure. Continues the Gemara. And here is also going to be different types of girsaos. So we had read Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei de Rav, that he interpreted the word hardafa as minnadin le'alter. You put him into cherem right away. Vishonin le'achalam. After 30 days and he refuses to capitulate, you repeat it again. You put him again into nidui. Umachrimin la'achashishin. And if it happens a second time that he refuses to do so, now you elevate the stakes and put him not into nidui a third time, but into cherem. So we will learn a little later how more stringent charamim are. It's hard to imagine being any worse than nidui. You'll be in cherem. And now the question is, how are we going to make sense out of that statement and the following statement? Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Hachi Omar Rav Chisda, Masrin Bei Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni. You administer a warning Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Baha. The simple reading would be that there is a machloikis between this statement and the previous statement. Because the previous statement by Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, said, what does the word hardofa mean? Put him into cherem right away. Rav Chisda is coming and saying, no, that's not the case. You don't put anybody in cherem right away. What do? You have to give him at least a warning. So you give him a warning on a Monday, Thursday and a Monday, because those are the days when Beis Din sits in session. And the Gemara, we know that all over the place, that Beis Din sits in session Monday, Thursdays, and Monday. That's why one of the reasons why we have Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, and Monday, because people will come from town, from their little villages, into shul, because Beis Din is operating, so they're here. We can give them something to learn also. That's how some are going to learn it. Some are going to learn that. And now, just two more words. Hani mili limamona. This is only if the cause, the reason, the catalyst for putting somebody into nidui is a monetary dispute. Beis Din had ruled against him. They issued the psak that he should go pay the guy $1,000, and he refused to do so. Aval la'afkirusa le'alter. La'af kirusa, says Rav Chisda, then you don't have to administer any warnings. La'af kirusa means he was mevaze a Talmud Chacham. Or he violated a Torah edict. And Beis Din warned him. So there you don't have to wait three more times, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. There you can go ahead and put him into nidui right away. That's what the Gemara says. Now we're going to see Rishonim how they make sense out of, is it the way I just projected it to you, that it's a machloikas amaroim, or are they talking about different types of cases? So let's start with, on page number 2, the Rambam. I had a number of them regular numbers because there were no heroes for the Yanks last night. If you're a Met fan, you'd have two numbers to put up. Right? Lugo, and Todd Frazier, and Gazelman. So the Rambam in Perek Chaf Hei of Hilchas Sanhedrin Halacha Yud Aleph on the bottom of the page writes, Mi Sheba LeBezdin V'Kibel Hadin, somebody came to Bezdin and received judgment, V'Omru Lo L'Shalem, and Bezdin told him to pay, V'Halach V'Lo Shilem, Ein Min Hadin Oso Achi Yisru Bo Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni, V'Achatach Min Hadin Oso Ad sheyitein mashehu chayev. Ve'im amad shloishim yom v'lo tova lahatir niduyav. If 30 days passed and he did not come and ask us to have his nidui removed, why would he ask for his nidui to be removed? Because he paid, but he didn't ask, so apparently he didn't pay. Machrim in oso. Then you can put him into chayrim right away. Okay? So, is the Rambam exactly like the Gemara or not?
No.
Gemara's
30-36.
Correct. Now, you could say that the Rambam... So, did the Rambam agree with Rav Chista that you first have to warn him? And then do the 30-30? Then do the 30-30, not the 30-30-60. Did the Rambam say yes? So, the Rambam learns there's no machloikis between Rav Chista and Rav Yehuda Rav Shmuel. They are both correct. Namely, Rav Chista says there's got to be a warning, and the Rambam codes that. Masrin bo beis hei beis. But Rav Yehuda Rav Shmuel, who said that you hardafa means you start off right away with what? Nidui, without warning. But he said it's nidui 30 days, nidui 30 days a second time, then cherem after 60. That the Rambam disagreed with. So the Rambam is nishtahin, nishtaher. He's not here, not there. He doesn't exactly embrace Rabbi Yehuda, but on the other hand, he takes something of Rabbi Yehuda and takes something of Rav Chista. So no doubt the Rambam learned that Rav Chista and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing with one another. And the only difficulty that we would have is how did the Rambam disagree with the Gemara, with Rabbi Yehuda's statement, where he said it's 30-30 and then Cherem is only after 60.
Where's it 30-30?
It says there. It says Vishonin in Rabbi Yehuda's statement.
Menadin la'alter,
right?
Shonin lachar shloshim yom.
Well, what does that mean, Shonin? You repeat. You repeat it for 30 days. And then machrim lachashishim. The Rambam says Cherem is only after shloshim. It's already after shloshim. So this question was... Was asked by the Beis Yosef. We'll see in a second. But before we look any further, please take a look at Tosfos on the top of the page, the only Tosfos on the page. Masrin bo sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Says, Tosfos quotes Rashi. Tosfos quotes Rashi. Now, we don't have such a Rashi. We do not have such a Rashi. However, Rashi on the Rif has exactly what Tosfos is going to say. But we don't have such a Rashi. Pirush Bekuntres, Sheni Masrin Botchila Ubenadinosa. On the second day, on a Monday rather, what do? You warn him. And right away, on that very same day, what do? You put him into nidui. V'chein bechamishi. And the same is on what? With the Thursday. Warn him. And if not, he's still nidui. U'bisheni acher machrimin. And on the following Monday, you already put him into cheru. V'chein sorich shloshim yom. You don't need anything about 30 days. That's what Rashi supposedly had said. So before we try to explain the Rambam, what in the world is Rashi saying in light of these two opinions? What did Rashi do? It seems like it's Nishtah, he's like nobody here. Like nobody. You warn him on the Monday, but you put him to Cherem right away. You warn him on the Thursday, and he's already in Cherem. So what do you have to put him in? Just extend the Cherem. Comes the following Monday, you put him to Cherem already. First Monday and Thursday, he's in Nidui. Now he's in Cherem. So it's certainly against the way our Gemara records Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that you have to wait 30 days in order to put somebody into Nidui. That's crazy. He doesn't say that. And what else? You don't have to go ahead and... So does he agree with... He agrees with Rav Chisda that you need Hasro. But... The Hasro is... And you need three of them. But the Hasro and the Nidui can be coexist at the same time. And virtually all Rishonim had a problem with Rashi because it just makes no sense whatsoever.
He must have had a different gear
system. Exactly. Everybody suggests, we don't know what it is, but he must have had a different girsa in the Gemara. That's why I said the girsa oat are...
easily, you know...
One second. Just read the end of the Tosis. V'yesh mefarshim kodim shinaduhu klal Yisrubo. Before what? Before you put him into Nidui, what do? You warn him Monday, Thursday, and Monday. That's the simple pshat. It's V'yesh Mefarshim. That's somebody else. They don't know what they're talking about. We have to follow Rashi's opinion. Extremely difficult. And as I said, it doesn't appear here, but in the Rashi of the Rif, I should have photostated it for you, it does appear. And again, I'm still not clear who is the author of that Rashi on the Rif, where there are so many differences between Rashi and by us and Rashi and the Rif that it would pay to help to find out. But anyhow, so that's Rashi. Now we have the Rambam, also not exactly like our Gemara. Go to page 3 now. Beis Yosef commenting on the Rambam. So take a look at, he quotes Tosfos in line number 3. Kasvu ha-Tosfos, in the middle of the line, Masrin bo sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Piresh Rashi, sheni masrin bo tchila u'minadinosa. V'chein v'chamishi. U'b'sheni acher, machriminosa v'ein tzara shloishim yoyim. Yesh mefarshim kodim shinadu klal yisru bo v'chein mash perakal goizel basra akan l'shoyim v'divrei harambam v'perik chafei mehilchus Sanhedrin, which we just read k'divrei hatoismus. The Rambam seems to be exactly what Tosfos said in the name of Rashi. Where did he see that in the Rambam? V'chein nira midivrei harif, which I did not photostat for you. How does he see the Rambam agreeing with Tosfos? The Rambam clearly said that first you warn Monday, Thursday, Monday, then you put him into Nidui, and then the only difficulty should be is that the Cherem starts after 30 days, not after 60 days. But to associate the Rambam with Tosfos, that the Nidui and the Hasra'ah take place on the same time? Where did he get this from?
It's the second opinion that he says he's like him, but only the first part of it. Meaning that's the Yesh Mefarshim, go to the Klal Yisrubo. That the Rambam says.
Yes, that he does.
That's what he's saying is like the Rambam.
That's possible.
But it's still not complete like the Rambam, because he goes on and has this, the Tosfos doesn't comment on...
On when the Nidui, when the Chayurim starts.
He doesn't comment on that.
Correct.
Part.
Doesn't comment. However, the Beis Yosef then, two lines later, he writes that De'ein minadin ela l'achar hasra. That you only, it appears that the halacha is you can only put somebody into nidui only after hasra. Venerally, dafka kehai gavna delo yad inan kavanaso imhi lira'a. Somebody doesn't appear, doesn't go to the person who he owes. You never know for a fact that what? That he doesn't want to pay. Give me a reason why he didn't go over to his creditor and pay off the award. Why? Doesn't have any money. That's also a possibility. Doesn't have. Okay? So, under those circumstances, you require hasra. You have to warn. Listen, buddy. Bez din assess this. And if you're not, we're going to put you in the chayim. So if there is an external, and the Rishonim will deal with that. The Gemara, I believe, will deal with that. If he says, you know what? I just don't have any money. I'd love to pay. So the Gemara will say, Bezna's going to find a job for you to make sure. Or if you do have your own job, what are they going to do? Garnish your salary. They will take the money from your earnings and pay the person who you're obligated to pay. So there, I understand, says the Beis Yosef, the appropriateness of engaging in a warning. Avol b'nei adam she'osin eida davar v'yadua kavanasam shehi l'ra'a. But if a person does something to escape a ruling, and you know for a fact what his intentions are, ein tzrichim hasra. Those people don't need any warning at all. Listen to this. V'imkein b'nei adam shibarchim behechave, people who run away and hide, mehakahal liftor atzman mimisim, to exempt them from what? The payment of communal taxes. Einam tzrichim hasra. They don't have to be warned. Demasrin va'omdim hay. They have been warned 1,000 times by Beis Din telling you, you got to pay taxes. Ubevadai shekol kavanosam kishibarchem behei kavei ligzol hakahal. The only intention that they have is to what? Is to steal. Ve'alkein minadin osam le'alter. Such people are put into nidui right away.
That's befeirish against his opinion.
What?
That's befeirish against Rav Chista's opinion.
Well, he's interpreting. That's what Rav Chista has in mind. He's interpreting. Rav Chista didn't say anything. Rav Chista said masrin.
No, he says hani mili lamamona. Right. Where I give asra is when it involves money.
But it's only when I'm not sure that what the reason is he didn't do it by mamona. But if I know what the reason is he's not paying, because he wants to get away, he's going to disagree with this. This is what he's saying in the name of this person who he's quoting. V'i osu v'tzaisa dina, if he comes and he listens to the decision, matirin osu la'altem k'nirali. V'yesh chogin, there are those who disagree with me. V'chein nohagu, and the minhag ha'olam is, she'me'olam Ein minadin osam elo la'achar hasra. The practice is that we never put anybody into nidui unless you have
been warned.
And if a guy doesn't want to come to Bezin, that's why we send a siruv 3 times. If somebody's subpoenaed to Bezin and he doesn't show up, after 3 times, they'll put him to nidui to some extent, because you send them a letter saying you didn't come, I'm summoning you a second time, I'm summoning you a third time. That's the hasra of like Bez Hey Bez under those circumstances. Yeah. Now, go to page number 4 for a minute, and the Beis Yosef will deal with the Rambam about where does he get the cherim after 30 days. Where it's bracketed there, it says, v'im eino chozer bo, if he does not recant after the first 30 days, shonin linadosa, we put him in nidui again. Meimrim sham, it's the Gemara there, Minadin la'alter v'shonin la'achal shloshim u'machrimin la'achal shishim. V'kosvo ha-Rambam perek shvi mehilchus Talmud Torah. The Rambam in Hilchus Talmud Torah wrote it exactly that way. Ava behilchus Sanhedrin beperek what? Perek kafei in Hilchus Sanhedrin kosav mi shebal lebezdin v'kibul hadin v'omru lo l'shalein v'holach v'lo shilein ein minadin oso ad sheyisro bo sheni v'chamishi v'sheni v'achakach minadin oso ad sheyite ma shehu chayim. Ve'im omad shloishim yom v'lo tova lahatir nidu yav machrimin oso. So he's going to know, where did the Rambam get this business that after 30 days you can do chayrin? Ve'efshar dahatam mishum de'ein machrimin ela la'achar nidui shekidein bo hasra'a. Maybe the Rambam means, says, he makes up his own halacha, that you can only put somebody into chayrim if he's gone through two processes, hasra'a and nidui. I don't understand, says the Rambam, why you need nidui twice. Where did that come from? Hasra'a, I understand. Give a person a fair warning. Put him in nidui. That's the less severe form of excommunication. But once that doesn't work, what do you have to repeat it for? So he just claims that the Rambam says no. And in Hilchas Sanhedrin, he's talking about only monetary cases. Ulefikach be'afkirusa, where somebody was mivaze a Talmud Chacham, deminadin le'alter, where you don't give him the three warnings as we did by monetary cases. Le'alter nidui shloshim yom harishoinim heve kehasra. The first 30 days when he has a nidui, that's the hasra. What's the second 30 days of nidui? That's the first application of what? Of nidui. Or lefikach ein machrimin elo la'achar shishim. So the way he explains the Rambam is the Rambam understood that there is a difference between nidui b'dinei mamonos versus nidui in what the Gemara calls afkirusa. When you're dealing by dinei mamonos and you have to issue 3 days of warning, Monday, Thursday, and Monday, so the hasra is taken care of. And now 30 days of nidui, the nidui is taken care of. Now comes the next 30 days already, it's already chayrin. But by when you are minnade for being mevaze a Talmud Chacham, there's no warning stage. But the Rambam believes that essentially you need a warning. So when you are minnadin oso for the first 30 days, that is the warning. That is the warning. The fact that you were in nidui 30 days, you are now being warned. Look what's going to happen to you. So it's not just a talking nidui, it's not a talking warning, it's a practical warning. You want this to continue, then don't apologize. If you want to stop it, apologize. Now comes the first application of nidui. Then, after 30 more days, becomes the what? The chayrim, after 60 days. That's how the Beis Yosef explains the Rambam. Aval anidui al mamon debeinon shiyakdim lo hasra machrim elacha shloishim. But if you have dinei mamonos, where you already had a formal warning Monday, Thursday, Monday, and you had the first application of nidui, why do you have to wait a second 30 days of nidui? Might as well be machrim right away. Kacha mazbir habet Yosef zdivrei harambam. Zdivrei harambam.
They're all just combining different elements. And
what?
They're combining different elements.
That is correct. Now let's turn to the Ritva on page number 5. So he quotes Girsas Hashvarim Hayishanim, old texts, which the Rabbeinu, which the Rabbeinu Yeshaya had quoted. The Rush had quoted. Upirshu Bai, that's what they put up these kanim, not to give him a lot of room. In the middle of the second line, he says, Avobunus Cho Shalanu, Ubeperish Rashi, Hachi Garcinon, Mai Hardafa, Amrav Yudabram Shimon Shmidrav, Minadin Oso Le Alter. That you don't delay, you put him into Nidui right away. Right away. Fine. Now, let's read another line or two of the Gemara, and then we'll be able to appreciate the Ritva's second mark.
What's the Klomar that he goes on to say? Klomar on that line. That's
Shirot Vinoso Nidui Acha Nidui Achiyach. You pursue him with one Nidui.
That's the 30 and the 30.
The 30 and the 30. Mm-hmm. Until he recants. Now let's read another line or two, then we can appreciate the second remark of the Ritva as well as the Meiri on the next page. The Gemara now says, the Gemara said, the la'af kirusa, you do it la'alter. That if there's being mevaza talmud chacham, you don't wait any time, you don't give him warnings right away, you just put him into nidu right away. And the Gemara tells a little story. Hahu tapcha, there was a butcher, the ispaker, the Rabbi Tuvei bar Masne, who was saying disparaging remarks against Rabbi Tuvei bar Masne. Imnu alei Abaye varava. So Abaye and Rava appointed themselves, and I had a third person as well. Visham tuhu, and they put him into nidui. Lisof azal paise lebaldina. Then what happened was he went to Rab Tuvei bar Masne, and he was mafayis. He apologized. Amar Abaye, Heichu le'evad, what should we do now? Lishrei le, to be matir the neder right away. Lo chal shamta ole tlosin yomin. He'll be in cherem for a day. Normally, when you put somebody into nidu, your cherem, it's for how long? 30 days. Lo lishrei la, if we're not going to be what? Matir the neder. So now they're going to be again a couple of variant readings. The way our Gemara reads, Kabo'u Rabbanan Lemeal. The rabbis need him because he's the only butcher in town, and they don't want to eat rice wheels and cottage cheese for the next 90 meals.
This is the source.
This is it. Okay. Fine.
What does Lemeal mean?
To go to him. That's the way it's interpreted. Lemeal, to come to him. They have to come to him. They need his services. There's going to be another girsa, Lemezal. Just the opposite. We'll talk about it when we get to the other girsa. But that's the way our Gemara reads. Amalei l'rav idi bar avin. Midi shmialach baha? Have you heard anything about this particular halacha? Amalei said yes. Hachi omar rav tachlifa baravime omar shmuel. Toot! Asar. Betut! Shari. The Gemara had said previously that when Barak ben Avinoam put somebody, Meiroz, into Cherem, he put him into Cherem with 400 shofros. What sound does a shofar make? Toot! That's the sound of shofar. That's what everybody, you know? You bought Tkia, toot, toot, toot. That's the way you do it. So he said, you blew a shofar in order to put him into Cherem, just blow another shofar to release him. Toot! Asar tut shari. That's what he said. That's how you resolve your problem.
You don't need 30 days is what
he said. What? You don't need the 30 days. Yeah. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, first I'll read the Rashi, Kabo'u Rabbanon Lemeal. So he knew that Moshe would ask the question, what does Lemeal mean? Rashi says, Shitzrichin lo. They needed him, because he was the butcher. He was the butcher. So I remember when the Rav came to Boston in the early 1930s, one of the things that he took on was the kashrut in Boston. And they were roidef the Rav and mevazehim in public. They called the IRS to say he didn't pay income taxes and so on and so forth. And he didn't back down a drop. He fought them tooth and nail, and he had a lot of support from the Buddhist Rabbanim and others. But people also complained because he put a isur on all of the butchers, and nobody in Boston was able to buy meat. And people would complain to him. Well, yeah, got to buy meat for Shabbos. He says, you're not buying any of that meat. That's for sure. You know, he would go to, many of these places had mashgichim, but the mashgich wasn't doing his job. And he himself would never eat his own hashgacha. And if he didn't eat his own hashgacha, the Rav fired him on the spot. Bye, you don't want to eat the meat? Firing you right now. And it caused a lot of ruckus with the International Union of Mashgichim, which was, happened to be at that time a powerful union. But anyway, that's what Rashi says. Tut osar tut shori kilomar matzi lemishri le. You can release him. Afal gavdulo chayle ole yamid yom. The oso shofar sheniduhu yachil yachol lahatir lo umishrei le besoch lamid yom. Just blow the shofar. That's the signal. Right, exactly.
What a weird proof. I mean, just say you don't need 30 days. Speaking in riddles.
No, but that's just it. The reason why there was a reluctance to do it without 30 days is because then people wouldn't take Nidui seriously. Hey, this guy's been put right now, he's out already? Like this, if you're in it for 30 days, people see that there is some mahut to it. That's why many Rishonim say there was this initial idea that you could not release him, even though he apologized already, because it will lead to zilzula the Nidui. People say, Nidui is a joke. So take a look at the Ritva on the bottom of page 5. Hachi Omar Shmuel. Tut asar tut shari. Pirish Rashi. Bishofa niduhu, bishofa yatiruhu. Kilomar, ve'ein tzorech lahamtim shloishi. Va'afilu la'afkirusa. Even if the initial cause of the Nidui was that he embarrassed Rav Tuvye, nonetheless, may kevan the paise lebaldine, once he apologized to Rav Tuvye Barava, sharinam. The Hiksha Rizal, the Re asked the following question. Shiloi matzinu shofar le'inyin hatora. Elo bishas nidui simon trua vishivron. We never found any source that they used the shofar to release somebody. We had a pasuk in Shoftim where they said that what? That they used the shofar to put him into cheres, but not to release him. V'yeshloima delishna ba'alma nokat. Yeah, you know what? It's just an expression. So what do you mean it's just an expression? Did they release him or did they not release him? The Ritva doesn't tell us. It's an expression. What does that mean? In all probability, it means that they released him. Who released him? The Rabbanan, who were put him in, released him. And this is just an expression about, you know what? The same people who put him into Cherem have a right to release him even before 30 days. And it's just an expression, Tutshari, Tutasadujan. Ubitoisvis Pershu, and he had some toisvis, that tut has nothing to do with making noise, tut, but miloshon tat, bekitvei, shtayim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, how do I know you're supposed to wear four parshios in your tefillin? Because it says totafot. And in African, some African dialogue, the Gemara says, tat is two and pat is two. Fine. So what does this mean? Zug shel talmidei chachamim asru. It was Abai and Rava, and he learns that it was not a bezdin. Abai and Rava themselves put him into cherem. V'zug shel talmidei chachamim yatiru. And and another group of Talmidei Chachamim, the same group, Abai and Rava, released him from that cheirah. Go to the Me'iri on the next page. And look at where it says V'yesh Mefarshim. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in the middle of the line. V'yesh Mefarshim shelo haya kan elo nidui shaharei la'alter haya. They put him into a nidui immediately, because the Gemara said that Rav and Abaye were minade him right away. V'heich hayu machrimin la'alter. How could they have put him into cherem right away? Ela nidui haya. The af benidui tzorech sheyachol shloshim kol shehu. Shloshim. Even for nidui, in theory, he should have remained there for 30 days. Certainly when it is le'af, but kol shehu le'af karusa. The only time that you need 30 days is when? Is when it's for dinei mamonos. But la'af karusa, when you are mivaze Talmud Chacham, that's kol shehu. Just even 5 minutes. If you apologize 5 minutes later, that's okay. Ugdoile ha'poiskin doichim svarazu. Uposkin kidas ha'omer tut osa v'tut shari. Kilomar. Bishofar mitparse niduyav. They publicized the nidui with shofar. Uba shofar yitparsem hetera. And through the shofar, they will be what? They'll publicize that it was mutter. Ve'ein lochush im natiruhu la'alter. There's nothing to worry about that we will release him right away. Sheyavo in your nidui lidei zilzul. Sheha shofar mifarsem. Because the shofar already creates the fact that it was an announcement made that the Rabbanon released it. Umikomakon im yamtin shloishim ain't tzorach shofar. But if you wait the 30 days, you don't need any shofar. Avol tosh shloshim bishofar. Mia matirin ve ain't tzorach shloshim hoil velo nisnada beferush lishloshim. Since what? Abai and Rava apparently did not say that he should be in Nidui for 30 days specifically. They just put him into Nidui. So once they blew the shofar, that would be enough. But once you are in Nidui for 30 days, claims the Miri, you don't need any shofros to release him at all. Don't need any shofar. All right. We'll stop here and we'll continue next Devar. Remember, we'll start again 7:45 with Mincha.